My team, Chris Brazil, Director of Operations. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Hello.
And Jeff Brooks, LO Extraordinaire.
How you doing today?
It's going, man. How's it going? Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit more about the team, or one person in specifically. We're going to be talking about Chris Brazil. You hear him every single week talking about loan programs, guidelines, kind of talking about the market, what's happening out there. But we really don't know who he is. You don't know what his background is, how long he's been in the game. He's been in 762 years, so I'm really excited to hear about the progress over that kind of timeline. But yeah, man, Chris, let's jump into it. Let's talk about where you're from. Tell me just a little bit about you.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I was born and raised in Syracuse, New York, so I'm a Yankee. Moved down here 23 years ago now.
Okay.
But born and raised in Syracuse, New York. Went to school in Rochester, New York. So my first 21 years of my life was spent up in New York. Got out of college, wasn't ready to get serious with life yet. I was just waiting tables at a local restaurant in Syracuse. Happened to meet my now wife. We were dating at the time. Came down to North Carolina to actually see a Syracuse NC State basketball game and visit my brother, who happened to be living down here. He was going to NC State at the time.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I still make fun of him to this day. It's funny. He says he is a graduate of NC State, but he does not like NC State sports at all.
Really?
Still pulls for Syracuse no matter what. So,
okay.
Yep. So my girlfriend at the time and I, on the drive back to Syracuse, we said to each other, what do you think about moving to North Carolina? And without me thinking that she was going to say yes, she's like, sure. So we went back to Syracuse, and 3 weeks later, we moved down to North Carolina on a whim. So...
Wow.
Left Syracuse in the dust. Left it in the rearview mirror, as they say.
Okay. What's the biggest, I think, cultural difference between like where you're at now and Syracuse? What could you say?
So we joke around in Syracuse, or in New York in general, that people don't talk to each other if you're out in public. If you are, you're going to be labeled as kind of a strange bird, let's just say. I'm being PC on this. But yes, you walk with your head down. You don't talk to people. It's not a friendly environment. Not that people are angry with each other, but it's just not a common thing in New York that you talk to strangers out and about in public. And so, one, Syracuse, it's so damn cold that you lift your head and face.
No one wants to admit it.
So you're usually got a hood up and you're walking with your head down so the wind doesn't give you a frostbite on your face. But yeah, it's just not known. And so when I came down here, people were saying hi to me on the street. I'm like, who the heck is that? Who is that person? And how do they know me? But it just came to find out that that's the culture down here in the South, is that you're friendly to your neighbors and strangers alike. Nobody's a stranger down here, which is a cool thing. And I fell in love with it right away.
Yeah. I think I say hi to 17 people before I enter the gym every morning.
And if you did that up in New York, people would say, hey, there's some weird guy out in the parking lot. So you might want to check in.
Call the law.
Yeah.
All right. So know your history there, where you're from, but how did you get into the LO world, loan officer space?
Yeah. So again, kind of going back to being out of college, not really wanting to get serious with my life yet, just wanted to kind of enjoy life. So I got a waiter job down here as well. You know, my wife and I, she got pregnant with our oldest. And so I was like, shoot, you know what? I need a job.
Yeah.
So I, you know, at that time I didn't even have a resume put together, nothing. And so one of the buddies that I worked with at the restaurant, he was a headhunter. And he's like, hey man, you're good at management. You're good at numbers and things like that. And the funny thing is, he's like, I got this real good paying job, but it's a manager at an Arby's restaurant. I never worked fast food my whole life. But two things it offered was good pay and a healthcare plan.
Baby on the way, too.
With a baby on the way, I needed that healthcare plan. You know, we went to the first doctor's appointment. They told us what it was going to cost. And I said, okay, time to get serious.
So, yeah.
But the funny thing is, 8 months into that job, when my wife was 8 months pregnant at the time, I was held up at gunpoint. So leaving the restaurant at night.
Wow.
Yeah, leaving the restaurant at night, closing up, me and two other coworkers. Walked out of the restaurant and somebody put a gun right to my forehead and walked us back into the restaurant, put us on our knees behind the counter. Couldn't get into the safe because it's on a time lock. He emptied out the tills. and made us and took our cell phones, made us throw our keys to the other side of the restaurant. We thought he was going to take our cars and everything. Walked us back to the walk-in cooler of the restaurant, and I pretty much thought I was going to die right then and there.
Yeah,
it was definitely the scariest moment of my life, but that's when I knew it was done. I needed to get out of that business, and I was never going to go back to it again, which I haven't. So I did get a real job. I had a buddy who owned a art publishing business, actually, and he knew my business background. That's what I went to college for as well. So he hired me on as his basically director of operations at that company, too. And I had another friend who at the same time was a loan officer actually in the Charlotte area. And he's like, Chris, you're good with numbers. You might like this job. You know, it pays real well. So I just started dabbling in it part time, you know, just doing it on the side while I worked at my buddy's company. My buddy knew about it. He was cool with it. You know, I was just kind of supplementing my income. And it got to a point where I was getting so busy as being a loan officer. I went to my friend. I said, look, man, I either need to get a raise or I might have to get out. And he's like, I can't give you a raise because our company's so brand new that we're on a budget for the next 5 years. And so I jumped feet first into the loan officer business, and the rest is history.
It's funny to hear people even like back then talk about how good you are with numbers, because like on the team, you're known as like our numbers guy. Like if you're an engineer, you're going to partner up with Chris. You do not need to talk with my hyper ass. And if you're like doing a construction to perm loan, those have so many numbers to calculate, so many things to accommodate for in the closing costs and the loan structure that you just tend to handle those. So it's interesting to hear that even 20 years ago, yes. I was trying to be nice, that you were still plugging away with those numbers, and like people could recognize that in you from an outdoor perspective, you know, an out from someone else's perspective.
That's correct. Yeah. So I loved it right from the get go. You know, it's a fun job. It's to this day, everything's new every day. You meet new people every day. Everybody's scenario is unique in the mortgage business. Everybody starts being unique from the time they open up their first credit card in college or before that. So you're dealing with unique situations every day, which I like. I cannot do the 9-to-5 punching clock. That's just not in my DNA. So I fell in love with this business, you know. And then, you know, I was back in the early 2000s during the Wild Wild West, we call it, stated mm-hmm. income, stated asset, very little regulation in the industry. And then, hey, what do you know what happened? 2008, the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. That was fun. And I'm being very sarcastic about that. So I was working for a mortgage company at that time, and we had a Tuesday standing meeting company-wide with the CEO of the company, the president and founder of the company. It was Tuesday sharp at 9 o'clock every week. And if you were 5 minutes early, you were late. So we got an email sent out. And I want to say this was 2009. I don't remember the exact year, but it was in the middle of the housing crisis. And so I got an email sent out saying that the meeting's going to be delayed until 9:15, which was the first time that it had ever happened. And so we were like, what is going on? And the office we had a bunch of TVs in the office, in the bullpen, as we call it, where all the desks are. And we had it on CNBC. And on the bottom scroll, it said, I'm not going to say the name of the company, but our company assets were bought by Countrywide Mortgage. And we were like, what the hell does that mean? Went into the meeting, and it was a 2-minute meeting. The owner of the company said, it's a sad day for X company. As of Friday, we're shutting our doors. You could hear a pin drop company-wide on the telephone.
Yeah.
Nobody said a word. So we walked out of the conference room, and there were three people from Countrywide standing there, and they grabbed the first three LOs who walked out of the meeting room and said, I need your files. And so I wasn't one of the first three. I went to my desk, I grabbed my laptop, and went home. Told my wife, I don't think I have a job anymore. She was shocked. And so I started calling my clients at that time. The first five I called that were all closings that were coming up in the next 30 to 60 days, they said, yeah, I was already contacted by somebody Countrywide. They said they're taking over from here. And so we were left high and dry. Company filed bankruptcy. There was a class action lawsuit. We didn't see a dime out of it. I literally think I got a check in the mail when the class action lawsuit settled for $0.
And nuts.
Yeah, I remember, and it was for the class action lawsuit. And they sent a check for $0 because that's all the money that was left from the company. And it was settled. And so we didn't get paid nothing. So I had to get out of the business for a couple of years. You know, again, I needed health care for my growing family at the time. So I actually managed an apartment complex for about a year and a half. And I was like, I need to get back in the mortgage business. I love it. I like the uniqueness of it. You know, and again, not being a clock puncher, when I was managing an apartment complex, I had to answer to layers and layers of management.
Yeah.
That's not my mentality. You know, it just doesn't work for Chris. And on a whim, I actually heard an advertisement for this company in Raleigh that was hiring. And so my wife and kids at the time, their pediatrician was across the street from this mortgage company. So I set up a meeting. I was like, you know what? Hey, Karen, I'm just going to pop in here real quick. You know, I set up a meeting. I just want to see what this is all about. And she's like, okay. And I said, I'll be right out. Well, I was in there for over an hour. And that person I met was Sherry. And so I walked out and I said, I'm going to work with Sherry Riano. And my wife was shocked. She was like, you just met her for the first time. I was like, we have the same mindset. We have the same mentality. We think and act alike. And she got me excited about the business again. I'm going to go work for her. And the rest is history. Sherry actually called me when my wife was in the hospital delivering our third child. We were walking down the hallways because labor was slowed down. And I was like, Karen, I have to take this call. It's Sherry. And sure enough, it was Sherry offering me the job. So I always know when I started working for Sherry because it's on the birthday of my third child. So, you know, when we're going on year 13, it'll be this year. So
I can't imagine taking a phone call with my wife in labor. I don't know if I would survive. Like, there'd be a new life and the end of a life.
There's a fine line between brave and stupid. I was walking both that day because she was not enjoying life. And here I am, just the Nimrod who's not in any pain, nothing, just walking down the hallways and telling her I gotta take this call.
That's hilarious.
It went fine though. And, you know, I'm glad I took the call, I'll tell you what, because Sherry is the best thing that ever happened to me as far as getting to know her, building the business, building the team together and everything. And it's just been, it's been fun. I mean, how many people get to say they have fun at work?
Right.
And that's, you know, when you brought you guys along, you know, help build our team. And it's been a blast ever since. I mean, we've ridden the ups and downs. You know, the mortgage industry, that's one thing about it, is that there's peaks and valleys, we say. You know, there's high times where, you know, we don't have enough time in the day to get our work done. And there's low times. But hey, if you're having fun, making money, being able to provide for your family, and doing a good service for the community. We are a local lender, which I love. We service the people that we live and work with in this area. I see somebody in the grocery store, because I've lived in Holly Springs for, going on 19 years now. I see people in Holly Springs that I've done loans for, and they come up and say hi to me. That is the best feeling in the world, because I knew I did right by them, which is why Sherry and I's mentality is do right by the client 100% of the time. There is no deviation from that rule. And we've lived by that mantra. We do right by the client every single time because we feel like everybody deserves a home. So this business is a win-win. We, you know, we get paid, we have fun, we make money for our family, and we get the joy of seeing somebody close on a house, you know, 20 to 30 times a month. Nobody can say they get to do that. And it's a privilege to work in this industry.
Hey, so how did you become director of operations on the team?
Oh yeah, Jeff. Good. Thank you. So what I, you know, Sherry and I were running the business. We were the two main people on the team. We always had our processor, Jordan, who, you know, a little hint there, it just happens to be Sherry's daughter, who we
always, secrets out.
We always joke around and say that she's the smartest one in the office. She is. That's why she's the best processor in the business. But, and so when we started building the team, Sherry's always been the real good person about being the front face of the company, out shaking hands, meeting realtors. Not that I don't do that. Sherry loves it, lives and breathes it. I'm the analytical person. I'm the person that stays behind the scenes and make sure the pipeline's moving forward, make sure I'm reading guidelines on loans, making sure we know the ins and outs of this business because it is an ever-changing business. And so when we were building the team, that's how we built it. Sherry was going to be the, you know, basically in charge of sales at that time. And I was going to be the director of operations, making sure the internal operations run smooth. I work with corporate on, you know, closing, post-closing, things like that. While Sherry's out, you know, shaking the tree, as we say. And as our team built, we've put other people in those positions, but it's always been important for me to maintain that director of operations just to make sure that the internal structure of the business is run as we know it should be to stay as a well-oiled machine.
That's good. That's good. Well, man, thanks for talking. Thanks for sharing. I think it's great to have people understand, like, you know, why are you the one that generally talks about the guidelines? And it's because you've been studying them, you've been paying attention, you've been reading them for 20 years now at this point. I mean, it's always been your niche from very early on. You were the numbers guy, even from another person's perspective. You were just good with numbers. You were good with the details like that. So it's good for people to hear that, good for people to know who they're talking to when they call in. So thanks for sharing.
You bet. I'll have a beer with you after hours during the day, though. I'm focused, and I'll be the one to go to if you have any questions about if you can't get somebody into a loan, another lender turned them down for some reason. Trust me, we'll turn over every single rock and nook and cranny to try to find a way to get it done or explain to the borrower why it can't, and that's why you need somebody that understands the guidelines in this business.
That's good. That's good.
And go Orange, right?
And go Orange. That's why I moved down here. I consider myself a Southern boy right now. All my kids were born down here, but I am Syracuse. I bleed orange, my friend. I bleed orange.
That's good. Look, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you want to be a guest, maybe you want to tell your story. Maybe you want, you know, the community to know who you are. Send us an email at team@thesherryrianateam.com. We'd love to have you on as the show. This has been Mortgage Mindset. We're on every Wednesday. We'll see you next week. The Mortgage Mindset podcast is hosted by the Sherry Riona team at Clear Mortgage, powered by City First Mortgage Services, LLC. Sherry Riona's NMLS ID is 71774. Visit us at thesherryrianateam.com for more information about our team. The opinions expressed on this show by the hosts and their guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Clear Mortgage or City First Mortgage Services. Please note that Clear Mortgage is powered by City First Mortgages, LLC, and their NMLS ID is 3117. Clear Mortgage and City First Mortgage Services is not an agency of the federal government and is not acting on behalf of or the direction of HUD FHA. City First Mortgage Services is an equal housing lender. Programs, rates, and terms subject to change without notice. Underwriting terms and conditions apply.